chapter 7, entitled, significantly, Of God's Covenant with Man. The distance between God and the creature is so great that although reasonable creatures do owe obedience unto him as their creator, yet they could never have any fruition of him as their blessedness and reward, but by some voluntary condescension on God's part, which he hath been pleased to express by way of covenant. The first covenant made with man was a covenant of works, wherein life was promised to Adam and in him to his posterity upon condition of perfect and personal obedience. Chapter 7 of the Confession of Faith explains more fully to us how Adam's sin, which chapter 6 deals with, affected the whole of humanity through the covenant of works, and how God had a prepared remedy to deal with Adam's tragedy, the covenant of grace. I want to make 4 points regarding these 2 sections. The first is this: the position of this chapter in the confession tells us that what is chiefly in view is the covenant God made after the fall, the covenant of grace. But you can only understand the covenant of grace in the light of the covenant of works, because the covenant of grace is God's gracious remedy for Adam's tragic failure to fulfill his covenant with God and as our head to bring the whole of humanity crashing down with him. The covenant of grace is God's gracious remedy for the tragedy of Adam's failure to fulfill the covenant of works. The second thing, and perhaps the most significant thing we should note here, is that the covenant of works was a voluntary condescension on God's part. If you look at the latter section of the opening section, we would have no fruition of God as our blessedness and reward except by some voluntary condescension on God's part. The covenant of grace is God stooping down to Adam and in Adam to humanity. Now, there is some debate over whether we should call that stooping grace or not. Some want to argue that grace is a post-fall word. But I think it's appropriate to realize that there are aspects of grace along a progression. Anything that God does towards his creatures, he does out of undeserved kindness. Call it grace, if you will. The covenant of works is a manifestation of God's undeserved kindness to his creatures. And so the covenant relationship with Adam was established at creation, and therefore the prohibition we read in Genesis 2, in the day you eat thereof you will surely die, that prohibition is not the creating of the covenant, but the testing of the covenant. The third point we need to make is this: just what is the covenant of works? Well, the larger and shorter catechism call it a covenant of life. Question and answer 20 in the larger and question and answer 12 in the shorter catechism. A covenant of life. Now, a covenant is a bond of fellowship that God unilaterally establishes. But it's a covenant that has obligations to it and penalties attached to it. As the confession says, wherein life was promised to Adam and to his posterity in him upon condition of perfect and personal obedience. A covenant is a bond of fellowship which God establishes, and it has obligations and penalties attached to it. Now, the question that's often raised here at this point is this. Is this relationship of blessedness that God unilaterally brings Adam into, is this conditioned solely by works? Now, my answer is no and yes. Let me explain briefly. No, because God owes Adam nothing and has already stooped down to engage him in a covenant relationship. Anything that Adam receives from God is ultimately because of God's undeserved kindness. God has, by a voluntary condescension, entered into this covenant relationship with Adam. Adam's first calling was to believe God and to trust God and to perform his works of obedience out of a relationship of trust and faith. But yes, the covenant blessings were suspended on works, because the blessings of continued and confirmed fellowship with God, what the confession calls the fruition of him as their blessedness and reward, was upon condition of perfect and personal obedience. And it is that reality that alone makes sense of the coming and work of our Saviour Jesus Christ. What does Jesus come to do? He comes to fulfill all righteousness. He comes to be the great law keeper for us that Adam failed to be. In other words, we are saved by the work or the works of Jesus Christ. Adam failed out of his filial relationship with God to obey Jesus Christ. God's better than Adam, fulfills the works that Adam failed to fulfill and provides for all in him salvation. We are saved by the work of Christ in the covenant of grace. And the fourth point, with whom was the covenant of works or the covenant of life made? Well, the confession tells us here, with Adam and his posterity. In other words, God's relationship with his world is based upon covenantal representative headship. Read Romans 5, 12 through 19 to see how the New Testament establishes and anchors that truth at the very heart of redemptive history. Now, this covenantal representative headship is often objected to as being unfair. Why should the failure of one affect humanity down through the ages? There's much that can be said. In 30 seconds, let me say two things. The first is this. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Whatever God does is right because he is right. If he establishes such a covenantal relationship, it's because he sees that this is wise and right and good. But the second thing we should never forget is that God's remedy for our fallenness in Adam is his own Son, the covenant representative par excellence. And so Paul writes in Romans 5, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, Adam's failure in the covenant of works, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were constituted sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Our hope this morning lies in the representative covenant head, Jesus Christ, and in his fulfilling of all righteousness in the work of redemption by his sinless life and by his sin-bearing death. Well, let's pray. Father, we bless you that when Adam fell, you already had a prepared remedy, the covenant of grace, focused uniquely in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we bless you this morning that there is one who came and who did what Adam failed to do. He fulfilled all righteousness, and his perfect obedience is counted as ours in your great grace and love. And we will endlessly bless you for the work of Jesus Christ to all eternity. And we pray in his name. Amen.